To the Jews I became a Jew, to the Gentiles a Gentile, to the weak, weak. You can't question Paul's commitment. Every person he meets, he starts with where they are, not where he thinks they should be. Their need sets the agenda. Their reality is the context of Paul's witness to them. And it's not that he's being manipulative, he's not being insincere, he's reading the room, showing respect and sensitivity towards those he wants to win for Christ. And neither is he nor are we going to get it right every time, but it is about a direction of travel, a mindset, a decision that whoever we will be with, whoever we are with, in whatever context or connection we find ourselves, we take account of where they are, what they might need from us. We deal with them compassionately, sensitively, caringly, in a Christian way. We all want to do that, deal with people in a Christian way, not let the side down. And sometimes that's easier than at other times, to be honest. Like with our partner, the people who know us best, who see us when the masks are removed. That's particularly challenging. When we are believers and our partner is not, that can be hard when our partner is not on board. It's the demographic of much of church reality that often congregations contain a disproportionate number of wives there on their own, their husband not much interested in the things of the faith. My mother certainly didn't like sitting alone in church while my dad was at home. But at home, for sure, there is nowhere to hide. At home is where faith is found out. Who are we in the setting of child to parent? The whole honour your father and mother thing. Because not all parents make that easy. It's not always easy to deal with them in a Christian way, when they're cranky or unkind or self-centred or demanding. When the ancient legacies of old cruelties linger on, boy, do we need the grace of God to deal with that. The patience of a saint. To be Christian. To bear Christian witness in that setting. For some people, it's easy. For many, it is when we most cry to God for help, to be Christian in that place. And what do our children, should we have them, need us to be for them in order to win them for Christ? Welcome to Heartbreak Hotel. For we all know how incredibly tough that calling can be. The most loving, the most compassionate, the most intelligent, the most supportive, the most forgiving, the most encouraging, the most prayerful parents in the world find that there are no shoe-ins here. There are no guarantees that if we have done all these things, lived that Christian witness to the nth degree, that our children will embrace the faith. And that's a puzzle. A painful reminder that the most precious thing about our children can be the source of most sorrow. That they are individuals. That they are their own people. They make up their own mind. So we continue to do all these things, be all those things, pray all those prayers, and we wait. How to win them for the faith? It's a tough one. We have colleagues, and it seems that we can often share everything about ourselves with them except our faith. And how does that happen if to our colleagues we prove to be trustworthy and caring, discreet and supportive? That will give some integrity to the life of faith we espouse, and at least they might listen to us if we're those kinds of people. But what about taking it to the next level? How to share our faith without just kind of hoping they might guess what we believe? I had the remarkable story of two men working in the same school, teaching in the same staff room. They knew they both supported the same football team, but they didn't know they were both elders in the Church of Scotland. Somehow it never came up. Intriguing. And how about being a Christian neighbour? The woman upstairs from us is very outspoken. She doesn't hold back. And when she sees people heading off to church with their Bible under their arm, but doesn't see them, sleeves rolled up, being a good neighbour, when they are conspicuous by their absence, if it comes to someone needing help, well, she's not impressed. She gives them no mileage. We can tell what people believe by how they conduct themselves as neighbours. Hypocrisy wears many guises. And how about how you deal with opponents? Do you play sports or chess or cards or mahjong? How we win and how we lose indicates what our values are. No one's going to be won over by a bad loser or a gloating winner or an egotistical competitor with a bad attitude. These are the kind of arenas where our witness takes place. People watch and listen, observe, weigh up whether what we have is worth having. If we want to win our friends for the faith, it doesn't take us long to see how not to do that. We can see that neither silence nor insensitive arrogance serve well. We know it isn't about winning the arguments, but about winning the heart. Maybe we feel ill-equipped to meet the counter-arguments. It helps if we can explain why we believe, should we be asked, should it come up. I remember a wonderful lady called Mrs. Bennett in my last congregation. I knew her well and I loved her dearly. But I had to stop her when she said, "You know, Mr. Twirl, I don't really feel I know enough to talk about my faith." This woman who'd been in church every Sunday for 50 years must have picked something up along the way. Not all our friends will share our faith, but they will know us for who we are. And part of that is how we function in the role of citizen. If we are identified as people who are found looking at the great issues of our times and offering only a shrug of "it's nothing to do with me," that can rather look like a denial of our values. And though we know it's time-consuming to engage politically, it can require choices made, serious commitment offered, difficult decisions about where our service lies. It's not a calling for everyone to be high profile in the world of politics, but there are possibilities not just to tut-tut in impotent despair, but to be part of shaping our community. One of the elders in my last church became Minister of Education in the Scottish Government, a wonderful role, an influential one. It meant he didn't have as much time to be connected to the life of the church as he might have had he not made his choice to work in politics. But we also know that social and political engagement is not about being prescriptive or dismissive. It's about showing your faith through a life of service. Paul's mission style, his modus operandi: to the Jews I became a Jew, to the Gentiles a Gentile, to the weak, weak, reminds us that our faith goes with us into every arena. Our witness is seen in countless encounters, touches all aspects of our humanity. How we're part of an audience. Do we bring a critical spirit, harsh or generous? Do we congratulate or discourage? Do we affirm or do we cut down to size? Are we encouragers or crushers? And even our casual encounters, each one a gift. The waiter who serves us, the nurse who cares for us, the shopkeeper who gives us our bread. That moment, each moment, has an integrity in itself. How we deal with strangers, with an open face, with open eyes, with open hearts. Call it chameleon Christianity. To the Jews I became a Jew, to the Gentiles a Gentile, to the weak, weak. Our calling is to be all things to all people, in order that we might win some for Christ. Our calling is to be all things to all people, in order that we might win some for Christ.